tell me about the story of the founding. If you can go way back in time, the founding of the Creative Alliance.
Sure. So yeah, the olden days in Fells Point, Aunt Megan was an arts journalist and a bartender. And my mentor, John Fonda, early on had said to me, you know, Baltimore is this amazing cultural community. Nobody's writing about the visual art here. And I started writing art criticism for the city paper. And when I first landed, excuse me, I was really lucky to hook up with Richard Ellsbury and Doug Retzler, and they were doing these amazing street-based performances. So there were a bunch of young 20-something artists that were sort of standing on the shoulders of Divine and John Waters, you know, that had created a sense that this was a community which had really exciting things going on. So I had been watching these things and checking it out and looking at the lay of the land. And when Margaret came to me and said, I'm opening up a restaurant, and Margaret Footner was opening up the Cafe Open. She couldn't decide what to call it, so she put an A-frame sign out and said Cafe Open. So that became the name. And she said, I want to do a gallery on the second floor, because Margaret had a vision of the arts really being integrated with everyday life, and particularly with business and community life. And I said, well, I might be interested in that, but I've never really curated anything, and I certainly don't know how to put a nail in a wall. So Dan Schiavone was working with me on a newspaper then called Art in Progress. And for maybe a year, we did something together called Halcyon Gallery, which right away started exhibiting local artists. We had readings. We had screenings. We had actually many of the components. We had critiques. We had discussions. And after about a year, we decided that we should go nonprofit, which was something I was sort of guessing we needed to do for a while. And Margaret and Dan and I sat around and came up with kind of the nugget of the mission of the Creative Alliance, realized that Baltimore had an amazing arts community in all media. And this is going to be hard for people to manage. So go back 20 years. Understand that the arts community that right now is so appreciated. 20 years ago, there were artists that understood it was great, but that was kind of the end of the line. You know, the everyday people in the city, they weren't thinking we had a great arts community. And that was really one of our big agenda points, is this community is amazing. And we need to present it to the city in a way that people can, instead of having to stay up till 4 a.m. in a loft on Utah Street, they can come see it at 8 o'clock, you know, and see it well presented. So that was the beginning of our mission, that if we present this community, these artists to our community in context and give them the respect and presentation that they need to be well presented, the energy that comes from that can transform our neighborhood and our city. And so we became nonprofit, and we were the Fells Point Creative Alliance. We were lucky back then that Homicide, the TV show Homicide, was being shot, and a lot of the principals in that show would hang out in Margaret's Cafe, Kyle Secor, Richard Belzer, Clark Johnson. And those guys were kind of watching what we were doing. And Margaret and Kyle were buddies. And we came up with the idea for a benefit, Homicide Live, which I didn't even have a TV. I never watched TV. I had no idea. I was like, oh, what a TV show, whatever.
Those were great shows.
Yeah, I was like, this will be fun. But I didn't understand that the show was madly popular. So the first time we did the benefit, we did it on the second floor of Margaret's Cafe, which could maybe hold 40 people. And we didn't schedule it very well. They were actually shooting a show the same time, and the actors were like jogging back and forth from the set and doing the performances. And we
should say that the actors from the show put on like a variety show. They did their hidden talents and things they shared with the
public. 5 years. And we started the first year in the little 40-room venue, and we ended up at Center Stage at their main theater and sold out two shows at 500 seats per show. And so those guys helped put us on the map.
Yeah. But it's a strange journey to go from a group of artists who, for the love of art, try to make something happen, and then you have to run a business, too. I mean, that's got to be a big transition to make to the nuts and bolts of running your thing.
Right. And that gives me an opportunity to do a big correction. because I am so often on stage at the Creative Alliance, and because I'm the media person, and I'm an extrovert, and I love to be on the radio, people... And they mean well, and I love them for it. They'll come like, oh, you're doing such a great job of the Creative Alliance. It's like, well, I am doing a good job of my portion of the Creative Alliance. But when you start talking about the business of funding and directing a nonprofit, that's the work that my co-founder, Margaret Footner, has done for two decades and continues to do. And we were, you know, we started in Fells Point, and then the trajectory of how we came to be in Highland Town speaks a lot to, you know, the business of art as a catalyst for social change, mm-hmm. which is a wonderful win-win in the sense that art can be a profound catalyst for social change. And the Creative Alliance has been a real pioneer in setting up a paradigm for doing that effectively. But what happened in Highlandtown was our co-founder, Dan Chivoni, who moved on from the organization fairly early but did some critical contributions early on. Dan had bought an old moose lodge, and we started doing performances in this old moose lodge. And at that point, Highlandtown, which in its heyday was like the blue-collar heart of Baltimore. It's where the Steelworkers Union was founded. Bastille had, in its heyday, had like 70,000 people employed a year. People were making cars for GM. And Eastern Avenue was the second largest shopping district after Howard Street. And when those union jobs disappeared, Highlandtown was in a really challenging place. As Perry Sfikas, who was our then state senator, son of Greek immigrants, amazing politician, Perry Sfikas was in, you know, he was Highlandtown state senator, and he would say over and over again, every time I repeat it, I want to cry, but he would say, I'm not going to let the lights go out on Highlandtown. And what he did was pull together just a loose group of people that he called the Eastern Avenue Partnership. And it was the owner of the paper. It was Bob Santoni, who used to own Santoni's grocery store. It was a representative from Hausner's, Father Lou from Our Lady of Pompeii. And Dan sort of convened this meeting. We all met, and they were like, well, can you see a way that the arts could help Highlandtown? And we're like, yeah, you could get an arts organization to move there. And we didn't mean us, because we were not really an organization yet. You know, we were three volunteers, you know, in a room above Margaret's Cafe doing some pretty groovy programming. But, and then we got a new board president that had done projects sort of similar to the Patterson and other places. And we just sort of started thinking about it. And there started to be this synchronicity, like, yeah, maybe the Creative Alliance should move to Highlandtown. So the Eastern Avenue Partnership invited us to do a proposal, which I was really clear would be this fun exercise where we would brainstorm this venue, and then we would present it. And then everyone would say, oh, that's a great idea, but ooh, it's way too much money. I didn't really think anyone was going to say yes. And we presented it to the gang and to Perry. And Perry's like, that's a great idea. Let's do it. And I was like, oh, okay. And it's, I doubt it really was 2 weeks later, but it felt like 2 weeks later. I'm in my closet digging around going, oh, my gosh, I'm presenting the governor. What am I going to wear? What am I going to wear? You know, we were really lucky because then Governor Glenn Denning was very intent in revitalizing the urban core. He had a great relationship with Perry Sfikas. And the proposal that we presented that is now the Patterson, the Creative Alliance at the Patterson, had resonance for him. And we also were lucky because, you know, I had seen artists working with youth in the streets and working in communities. And, you know, these are people, Monica Brewer, Doug Retzler, there's many of them that are semi-unknown that didn't get government funding. But I had been watching all the gang in Sowebo, doing all that work on Sowebo for all those years. Artists in Baltimore had been, you know, revitalizing neighborhoods without support or recognition for a really long time. But we were sort of like the first organization to say, hey, we're an organization. We can do this. You know, we want to be in Highlandtown. We want to reach out to the immigrant and refugee and Latino community. We want to create a conduit for artists in Baltimore to reach out to these communities. We want to cohere our neighbors and the folks around us into a community that's been gathered by art about social issues that have to do with them, aesthetic issues, arts that's fun, that has a real message to share with the local community.
I think one of the things that I love about the Creative Alliance is that mixture of everyone can do art, that's just a given. You'd think everyone can do art. Everyone can be part of art. Art can touch everyone's lives and make them better. And I wonder if you can, I know this is a tough question for you. You've got so much history there, but are there a few things that stand out to you as like things that you feel particularly good about, things that are lifetime memories for you about work you've done there?
Oh, gosh, that is so incredibly hard. I mean, yes and no. I mean, the no part is just that what's really been such a gift is just the whole continuum of it. Every time I take a ride on the elevator at the Patterson, I'm like, oh, my God, we have a building with an elevator? Like, I still can't believe it. And when I'm aware that I got, you know, I was lucky enough to find this amazing team and co-found an organization that pays health insurance, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have health insurance doing this, you know. And then to stand on stage and look out at our audiences. I mean, Baltimore has amazing audiences. I don't know if people understand how transformative that is for performers in particular. But, you know, you can go to New York and everybody will sit in their chair and go, okay, yeah, show me what you got. And in Baltimore, everybody's like, oh, yay, what do you got? So you have this incredibly supportive environment to perform in. And the performers, instead of playing in a club with like everybody mostly drinking, and I don't diss the club scene. I mean, our scene is so rich. But what the Patterson is about is like, oh, I came here to really focus on you on stage. So that's been really important to see that audience grow. Moment-wise, I mean, we presented Amiri Baraka.
Yeah.
We presented Amiri Baraka, and Rosalind Cawthon produced his play, The Slave Ship, and he said it was one of the best productions. No, I think he actually, this sounds like total like exaggeration, but I'm pretty sure it's a direct quote. He said it was the best production he had ever seen. I think when we were still on Conkling Street in the rat-infested Pep Boys warehouse, which was really great, actually, no joke, we presented Will Oldham over there. I remember thinking, wow, this is amazing. And we presented Anne Watson-Boyster there. And I think that was a really big deal. I mean, we presented Anne and Boyster often. There's so many great artists from our area that we present often. Caleb Stein will be with us really soon. Artie Hill. Oh my gosh, there's a really long list. But for Boyster, which is this massively talented band, but you're not, like, where do you put them? Like, yeah. There's so many venues they don't fit.
True.
You know, cabaret, art, rock, jazz, virtuosos doing silent film scores to Keaton and Griffith and, you know, but for us, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely astonishing. And actually, that's one of my big highlights, was opening the Patterson with the show that we did. I'm really profoundly proud of that. Vince Perennial, of course, was John Waters' production designer. He did the production design for The Corner, for The Wire, for some of Barry Levinson's movies. And he's been, in large part, the face of Baltimore to the world. So we opened the Patterson in 2003 with set pieces. We had the electric chair, John Lennis from Female Trouble, which he was like really afraid was going to get stolen and all this stuff.
The iconic couch from The Wire.
The couch from The Wire. And we had John came and interviewed Vince. David Simon presented and introduced The Corner. We screened The Corner. So I'm really proud of that. And that day we... And this also speaks to the nature of Baltimore, and people giggle and call it Smaltimore, which a lot of times, like, cliches are just cute and sort of dumb and don't mean much. But Baltimore's scale has been one of its great gifts, you know? Like, we asked John Waters to help us, and he's like, yeah, I'll help you.
Yeah.
You know? And when we went to David Simon and said, hey, can you lend us some stuff for the show? He's like, yeah. You know, and we went to Senator Mikulski, and we said, we're trying to fundraise for the Patterson. Will you help us? She's like, yeah. You know, my parents had a bakery in Highland Town for years. You know, I care about that community. And she helped us raise major HUD money to help fund it. So that day when we opened the Creative Alliance, you know, the venue, we had John Waters there. We had David Simon there. We had Senator Mikulski there. Then Mayor Martin O'Malley came by. And all the myriad of other people that aren't famous that are still involved with us today and are incredible. A lot of our board members that are still involved were there that day, so I'm really proud of that.
Creative Alliance founding member Megan Hamilton. She'll be leaving her post on November 21st, but this weekend you can still see her in action. On Saturday, the Creative Alliance will host 1814, The Summation, a fun, day-long exploration of the War of 1812 and the important role everyday Baltimoreans played in that conflict. Then on Sunday, the Alliance bids adios to Megan with a party at 5, followed by music and performances at 7 p.m. with some of her favorite artists, including Anne Watts and Boyster, Joyce Scott, Caleb Stein, Artie Hill, and the Mole Suit Choir. And you'll have a chance to meet Megan's replacement, Josh Cohn. Information is online at creativealliance.org. For The Signal, I'm Lisa Morgan.